traveling the world, searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horsemen. It's a great weekend. It's Belmont weekend at Saratoga. First time ever, and it's being held outside of Belmont, New York. And the reason they're doing that is because they're rebuilding Belmont. They're going to redo all the tracks. They're going to they tore down the grandstands and you know, all the buildings, and they just totally leveled it. And it's going to look like a new place up there. They're right there with the Islanders, have their hockey arena right there at Belmont. Belmont's making it a sports venue, new restaurants, new everything. You know, it's a great thing. The horse business is getting better and better and better. They're doing the same thing at Pimlico. They're doing a big redo over at Monmouth Park. So it's going to be good, you know, for the horse industry. The purse money's up, everything. But they've got twice as many people at Saratoga that live in Saratoga for the Belmont. It was a 4-day weekend that they're having 4 days of racing, and they immediately a month or two ago sold out every seat at Saratoga for the Belmont. So it's really going to be interesting, you know, race to see this week. We'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. One of the things that I wanted to start talking about is what we're doing here, and since it's the 1st of June and we're stepping things up here at International Equine Network. I've contracted with an advertising company and marketing company in Los Angeles, California. They're going to be doing all my marketing and, you know, all the things that we need to do to make us a success. Not only do we have BBS radio and TV as our foundation, but that's helped me be able to get out and sell and market advertising for our programming. And so, like I always say here at IEN, we're about everything, just not, you know, anything. And that's the same thing that we are at BBS, TV and radio. They're about everything, and they've got all kinds of programming on there. You'd be surprised what they have. You need to go to them and see, you know, on their website, bbsradio.com, and take a look and see what they have on there. And that's just like we are at ientv.org. We're about everything in the horse business. There's not a area that we don't cover. We cover anywhere from transportation to feed to veterinarian products, you know, tack shop products, you name it, we talk all about it, and we show all about it. And that's what it's all about here. And we want you to call in when you can at 323-744-4831, and you'll win an Apple card. Those are becoming a thing nowadays, the Apple card. You can get them for gaming. You can get them for anything. And so we're going to give one away a week to the caller that calls in first. That's 323-744-4831. Now, on intv.org, this, like I said, we're about everything. We have America's Day at the Races today, and they cover quite a few tracks, live horse racing across America. They have good analysts on there. They go behind the scenes. They talk about the horses. They talk about the trainers. They talk about everything. And they come from a variety of tracks that are racing today, and it's all live. That's what I like about it. It's live. It's a 5.5-hour program. And so, you know, I think you really like it. If you're a real horseman, that's one thing you want to go and see. Then you can go to your favorite betting you know, company, whether it's Twin Spires, whether it's Naira, you know, whoever you bet through, you can see all the races live. They're not delayed, but they're live on America's Day at the Races. So that starts our programming off today on IEN. And then we come down and we go to weekly programming. And this is something that I've had up for a while. When I first started IEN, I thought about all the different things that we could do and how we could do it. And, you know, technology has moved along really good, And I really do, think it's helped out the industry as a whole, as it has all of sports, all of the NASCAR, basketball, football, you name it, it's helped us out. And so what I did is I started out, in the beginning with what I call an IEN rough cut. It's how IEN started. And I actually started it at Wellington, at the showgrounds in Wellington, Florida. And so you kind of go through and you see basically what we have on IEN. It's a little short minute or two commercial, actually, is what it is, I would say. And it shows about the show jumping. It shows about Polo, our show chucker. It shows about Last Call, which is our equine sales. Quest for Equine Gold, which is show jumping that we have there. So it just kind of roughly goes through what we do, you know, on IEM. So after I got that done, then I went up to Keeneland, and my friend Anna Seitz was up there, and I asked her if she could help me on this project. And so she said, no problem. She said, we'll get it done. So what I did is I went to Keeneland, and we interviewed some owners and some trainers, and we talked about the horses and, you know, how the owners got into the business and, you know, what they were doing. And we had a Morgan Ready colt that they were getting back that ran third in the Belmont. So it's quite an interesting little story there. And what I like about it is Anna's really good at what she does. And I told her what we wanted to do, and she got down there right in the mix of everything. She got down in there with the jockeys, talked to them before they went out, when they were coming back, talked to the owners before the horse ran. Then we watched the horse run, and he wins. You know, so it's kind of one of those things that was really, you know, you couldn't script it any better than it was. You know, Anna did real good with that, and, you know, she's really an asset to any equestrian, you know, facility or venue or business that you're in. That's Anna Seitz. But it's really good. It's right there at Keeneland, and we got a bunch of starts and stops, and we're right down on the rail. We get right in there with the fans, and it's really kind of a nice thing, you know, to see. It kind of... It lets you know what it's all about, you know, gets you behind the scenes, as they say. And then I said, well, you know, the next step I want to go, I'm a Florida guy, and I went to the Florida Agriculture Department, and I said, hey, guys, I said, let's do something for the state of Florida. Let's tell the world about the state of Florida. And so a few years back, we had done a little documentary called The Florida Horse. And it's about the economic impact that the horse has in the state of Florida. And we talked to several different people in there, talked to owners, trainers, you know, business people. And it just kind of gives you an idea of what the economic impact is on with the horse business in the state of Florida. And, you know, it touches everybody, the people at Burger King and McDonald's and Walmart and the gas stations and the hospitals and the doctors and, you know, you name it. If you're in business here in Florida, there's a horseman usually will stop in your business at one time or another. And nowadays, it's not seasonal anymore. It's year-round here in Florida, the horse business is. And that's one thing that I really do like. You know, we're expanding. And like, for example, up at Wellington, they've gone to a real good, they got a real good summer schedule now. 6 years ago, it wasn't very good. It didn't keep anybody here or it didn't bring anybody here. But so they switched it around now. So we got a lot of people that are keeping their horses here in the summertime to show throughout the state of Florida. And then a lot of the real good horses that we have here, they're going up to Kentucky and to New York and to Pennsylvania and Canada and California and over to Europe. And it's just really, you know, phenomenal. So what we do here, you know, where I'm at is I'm at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village, and we have standardbreds and we have show horses here. And we've got a total 750 horses on our facility here. It's 175 acres. You know, we've got a Grand Prix ring. We've got the show rings. And then we've got a mile-long standardbred track, and we got a 5/8 mile track in the center of that. So we cover all the needs of the standardbred industry, and we've had a lot of Hamiltonian winners out of here, had a lot of Little Brown Jug winners out of here, we had a lot of Breeders' Crown winners out of here. So, you know, our facility speaks for itself. Like, for example, we have Carriage Hill, and we have Laurel Lane Farm. I'm trying to think of all the ones here. Let's see, who else do we have here? Oh, we got four or five real good people that are in here. And we've got national champions that are here. We've got Olympians that have been here. And that's what it's all about. Sunshine Meadows is the home of past, present, and future champions. That's what we do here. So it's 175 acres, and we've got 750 horses here. Then we have Palm Beach Downs, which is our thoroughbred facility. And that's home of three Derby winners in the last 10 years, multiple Breeders' Cup winners, multiple graded stakes winners. You know, it's just amazing that we have here. Todd Pletcher brings 100-plus horses here every winter and stays from September until April with us. And all Todd's horses that are running in all the big stake races, the Derby, the Belmont, you know, the Preakness, the Breeders' Cup, they all get their foundation right here, and they stay with us almost 9 months out of the year. And so, you know, that says a lot there for our facility there. And then we have Delray Equestrian, and that's it's really, really nice show horse facility. Brandon Mills, the manager of all three of our farms, his wife, she runs that over there, and they've got some top-notch show horses, but more importantly, they're big into the American Quarter Horses. They got a little bit of everything. They've got nationally and world champion people that are there. Brandon's mom and dad are both in the AQHA Hall of Fame. Brandon's done everything that you could do in the show horse business and American Quarter Horse business. The guy does everything, and that's what turned us around here when Brandon came in. He's a leather maker. He can make you saddles. All our manure that we had piled up at both farms, he got one day sat down and he figured out a way to convert it over to compost. So, you know, we're getting rid of all that, and there's just nothing that he can't do. And that's the way all of our people here at Sunshine Meadows, Delray Equestrian, and Palm Beach Downs are. They all do a little bit of everything. And that's what makes us good here. And so that's why I like being here doing what I do, because I have access to some of the best horsemen in the world here. And I don't have to drive more than 5 miles to do an interview or to film them. And that's great. We're close to Gulfstream Park Racetrack. We're just a few hours away from Tampa Bay Downs. We're just a few hours away from Ocala to the World Equestrian Center. You know, so we've got it all right here, and that's what I like about the state of Florida. And it's like our philosophy and our mission statement here is on International Equine Network, is that we got everything. And when you have everything, then you can really get good at what you're doing. And so that's what we do here, you know. And then, like I said, we did all that at Kayla and Wellington and the state of Florida. So now on the on my website, we've got, for example, we've got Quarter Time, which is all about quarter horses. It's about the WCHA from Fort Worth, Texas, live programming there. So we go through that, and we follow the AQHA just everywhere is what we do with that. And so, you know, if you got something that's related to the AQHA or you got a question, just feel free to call us at any time at 561-690-8813 or email us at msmequine24@gmail.com, and we'll answer your questions. We got the people here that can answer those questions. They've been there and done that. And then, and that's free. You can put anything you want on IEN for free. All you got to do is call us. You know, I don't care how big, you might have a one-horse barn, and you want to tell us about what you do, you call us up, and I'll put you on the intv.org, and we'll get your story out there for you. You know, with BBS, they go to so many doggone different countries here, and that's what I like about them. I believe it's well over 100 now that they go to. And so, you know, we like seeing that, and that's what we do, get your story out there to all kinds of countries, all kinds of people. One thing that I got with the Belmont people and the Blood Horse people, and we got on there today, International Equine Report, radio and TV, and YouTube, we've got on there the Belmont stakes. They go in and they analyze the stakes, and then they tell you who's going to win and who's going to lose, and they tell you what the temperature is there, how many people are there. They tell you everything you want to know. So that's really an interesting project there. That's the Belmont Stakes Handicap. And then something that came up to me the other day, I contacted some people. And, you know, you're always talking about diversity and different things through life. And one thing I like about the horse industry is the horse industry is not a prejudiced industry. And we take everybody. We want everybody. We want to tell their stories, you know, let them know and everything. And then this came up in front of me the other day, which I didn't realize was up there because I hadn't seen any of their marketing. But this is the Black Cowboy Rodeo 2023. From Jacksonville, Florida. And let me tell you something, they did a good program there, you know, and you never have seen that. And so that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to get everybody's information out there. And let me tell you, it's one of the better rodeos you'll see. If you go there and click onto the Black Cowboy Rodeo 2023 in Jacksonville, Florida, you'll see some amazing athletes. It just blows your mind to see these guys get out there. They're just as good as they can be. And I tell you what, they work hard at what they do. And so, you know, we want to get stuff like that out. That's about what we do here, the distribution of information. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I should say, but it was an unfortunate situation prior to me finding it. But there was no information out there. And then I ran across it, and I said, well, good gosh, I said, we got to put that on air. You know, we got to help these people out and get them out. So now we've got a good alliance with them, and we're going to start doing about their shows and sales, and, you know, we'll start doing interviews with their riders and all the people that they have, their owners and everything. So, you know, that's what we're doing here. We're trying to help everybody in the horse business, you know, that type of thing. Then we got a weekly programming that I really like to go through. And in fact, today we've got from the home of the equestrian facilities in Paris, France, 2024 Olympics. It's a real good short little piece there that tells all about the Paris and the Olympics, and it gives you the history of the facility. And, you know, they tell you about everything, how to get tickets, how to watch it, which you'll be able to see that on intv.org. You'll be able to see the live equestrian events from Paris. But it's a real nice, informative thing, that you can look at. And if you're going to watch the Olympics, and especially the equestrians, this is a must see. It's presented by FEI, and, it's a must see. And then that way, when you see the facility and you see what they're doing, you can understand, you know, the historical value that they have, of that. And also you learn the history of the horse and the Olympics. And that's really a good thing there, you know, to see you get educated. And what I like about most of the programs that we put on here on IEN, you don't have to be a horseman to enjoy it. Like with the Paris Olympics, you don't have to know a lot about the horses, because they're going to inform you about the facility, the riders, the countries, and the facility itself. So that, you know, that's why we do what we do here. And then that's on Quest for Equine Gold, which is going to become a weekly program here in our short future. It's going to come up here. Quest for Equine Gold will be on Mondays, along with our dressage program called 0 to 10. That will be on Mondays, you know, when you go to it. So you can put that in your calendar and take a look at it and stay up to date on all the Olympic news and everything that's there. And then, like I said, 0 to 10, that's a great show. We got on there, it's called Wake Up Your Horse. With this exercise, they give you one specific exercise that they focus on to school a dressage horse. And it's a nice little short program. You don't have to know a lot about horses. You know, you just click on there, and then it'll tell you about it. And then when you do see dressage, you'll understand it a little better. And, you know, who knows, you might even end up being a dressage rider when you see that. So that's on 0 to 10. It's called Wake Up Your Horse and with exercise. And so that's interesting. And then this is really the crazy one. About 6-7 years ago, I was out at the polo grounds in Wellington, Palm Beach Polo, and I was talking to him about doing a polo show. And I talked with the United States Polo Association, and you know, they said, well, there's no money in the budget for it. There's no this, there's no that. And so one thing kind of led to another, and it died off for a little bit. And then they realized that, you know, in order to get the sponsors and, you know, to get the polo out there, they had to educate the people. And so that's what the Polo Association is supposed to do. And they got the Polo Hall of Fame here in South Florida. You can go over to, it's a real small building. It's really good to go through. You can see, the polo mallets, and you can see how they're made and where they're made. They tell you about the polo, matches, what a chucker is. They tell you the whole nine yards, and they've got a Hall of Fame there, and you'd be surprised at some of the people that government officials and movie stars and athletes that play polo. But you find all that there at the Polo Hall of Fame. It's really a nice place to go to. It's right here down in Lantana, Florida. It's really a good place to go to. And that's our show called Chucker. And what we do is we bring to you the best matches of the week, both domestic and international. And then at the end of the year, you know, they have the finals, and it's really interesting to watch. And what I like about Chucker, sometimes we'll have maybe 2 or 3 matches a week on there that are live. And, you know, you just have to come and look at it and see what we have. And then we've got Last Call. Last Call is, it was named, I named it, and this is how it happened. We were talking one day down at Keeneland at the sales. And, you know, I said, gee whiz, I said, who's buying all these horses? And one of the guys said, well, I really don't know. Said, haven't been up there, you know, the sales pavilion. And then one of the guys asked me, he said, hey, what was the last call on number HIP 287? And I told him, I said, it was $385,000. And he said, oh, wow. He said, that's a client of mine. He said, he's happy with that. Said, if he got 250, he said he was going to be happy, but he gets 385. And so, and that, when he said who had the last call on that horse, kind of got me to thinking. Well, it was actually somebody that was on the telephone, and he was the last bid. So therefore, we had the name of the show, Last Call. Where's the last call going to come from? Is it going to come from the internet? Is it going to come from the phone, or is it going to come from the sale? Actually, a person at the sales. And so that's why I named it Last Call. And it's really exciting to watch that, to see what's going on with it. And, you know, the horses that sell for millions of dollars. You know, it's just really a good program that I like about that. And there's a lot of them. We've got a lot of programs coming on. For example, June 26th, we have out at, let's see, where is this? Oh, the Mid-Atlantic sales is going to be there. That's June 26th. We got July 8th. We've got the selected horses of racing age, July 9th, yearling sale, August 5th and 6th, another yearling sales at Saratoga Springs. You know, it just goes right on up through to December 4th. And then also, we've got digital sales that are coming around. Those are going really good. That's the internet sales. Could that last call come from the internet? Could it come from the phone? Or could it come from, you know, right there at the sales pavilion? But from here on till the end of the year, you know, August, September, October, November, and December, we go every month. We've got sales coming out on last call. And those are always fun to watch. And today, especially today, talking about last call, we have the OBS under tax sale day four. It's from Ocala Breeder Sales in Ocala. And what they do is they bring all these two-year-olds out there to the track, and they work them 3/8 of a mile. And they go on for a time, and we have it. We've had it all day live on IEN. You can watch them train live and see what they did. And then a few days from now, we'll come in next Monday and Tuesday and have a live auction. They'll go through the sales. And that'll be on Last Call Live here on IEN TV. You'll see those, but you can watch them work today, and then then you can pick a couple horses you might like and see what they sell for next week. That's on our Last Call show, the OBS 2-year-old and training sales. Well, it's actually the OBS June 2024 under tax sale day 4 is what they have on there. And then we have Fine Turns, which I got together with a guy by the name of Steve Wolf. He's a Hall of Fame harness racing rider. Been big in the business for a long time. He works at Harness Link. Harness Link can tell you any and everything that you want to know about the standard bred business and harness racing in the States and international. Their website is phenomenal. You go to www.harnesslink.com, and you can see what all they have there. Or you can come here to our website. And when you come to our website, you just go down, and we've got on there Trey Koblet with Harness Racing Update. It's a good little program there. He tells you what all's going around in the harness business and racing. And then, of course, you can go to harnesslink.com, and they'll tell you, and they'll take you all around the world with the harness business. And it's amazing to see what they have there. But that's called Flying Turns. That's the one program that Steve and I did from Freehold Raceway in New Jersey. We did that quite a few years back. And what we were doing is we were getting ready to simulcast racing over to Eastern Europe. And it looks like it was going to be a good go, a good program, and we were all excited about it and everything. And then all of a sudden, the bottom dropped out of our programming because we got word that the Russian government had changed management. And I say management because I'm poking a little fun at the government, Russian government over there. But when I say they changed management, they changed the manager or the mayors in Moscow and Odessa, the state government, all the government officials were no longer there that were helping us, you know, to build the program in Russia. And so that stopped us pretty quick. You know, you get a phone call, oh, there's a new mayor and he don't want you in town. Okay, well, there you go. You know, so, but we did that and everything. So, you know, like I said, everything we're doing here on IEN is trying to get distribution of that information, both domestic and international. And that's what, you know, what we do here. And then this is my, I tell you what, I'm going to gain about 50 pounds doing this project here. It's called Triple Crown Tradition. It's about the Triple Crown races, the Kentucky Derby, the Pimlico's, or the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes, which is tomorrow. But this is all coming up for next year. We've got a well-known top TV chef that we will announce here in the next week or two. He's going to head the thing. It's a cooking show, and it's called Triple Crown Traditions. And what we do is we go in and detail on the traditions of the Triple Crown. Like, for example, Churchill Downs, they've got the Kentucky Burgoo, the hot brown, and the mint julep. And so we go back and do a little bit of history on each one of those and what they do and what the tradition of the Kentucky Derby is. Is it barbecue and chicken, pork chops, you know, just what is it? We talk about the traditions that people have established over the last 150 years for the Kentucky Derby. And we get famous, we get recipes, and you know, we have the whole thing that's on our website there. And what I like about it is I came up with another little tweak to this, and I'll tell you here in just a few minutes. We go to Pimlico in Maryland. Pimlico and the Preakness Steaks, and their traditions are seafood. They do a lot of seafood, and we'll go through and you'll see what all they have, and you'll see the food that they have as a tradition and the drinks that they make for the Preakness. And we'll go behind the history of the food of the Preakness Steaks at Pimlico. And then we go to Belmont. And at Belmont, we go through there, and it's going to be a high-class, you know, filet mignon, you know, champagne, done up in New York style, but they got their own traditions there. And what I like about the traditions we're talking about, you can go anywhere and talk to any horseman, and if they're from Kentucky, they're going to be making their own burgoo, they're going to be making their own mint juleps. You know, they got their own twist to it, same at Pimlico and at Belmont. And so that's what we're going to do with that. But having said that now, you know, everybody said, oh, well, just a cooking show. There's a lot of cooking shows on there. Here's the unique part about it. Starting in the 1st of May with the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs, we're going to do Triple Crown Traditions. And what that involves in is the history of the food of the Kentucky Derby. But more importantly, we're selecting a trainer, an owner, and a jockey to bring their Triple Crown production traditions to the kitchen. And then we're going to have them have a cook-off. Who's got the better recipe? Who's got the better food? The jockey, the trainer, or the owner? Then when we select that the winner during Derby Week, he will go up on a shelf, and he'll wait for the arrival of the winner of the Pimlico, of the Preakness traditions. Then when we get that winner, he'll go up on the shelf. And then we go to Belmont. And when we get the winner at Belmont, if he's a owner, trainer, or jockey, he goes up on the shelf. So now we got three people up on the shelves that are Triple Crown Tradition winners. So now what do we do? Well, we wait until November, and when November rolls around and we've got the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, we're going to have Triple Crown Traditions. And we're going to have all three of those winners meet at the Breeders' Cup, and they're going to have a cook-off. And then that way we'll have who becomes the Triple Crown Tradition champion. They'll meet at the Breeders' Cup, and how fitting, you know, to have all three of the best of the best there at the Breeders' Cup in Del Mar, and then we'll have our champion. And like I said, we'll be naming the head chef and the celebrities that will be involved in this in the next week or two once we get everything done. And then we have down here on our broadcast that we've got, if you go to it, it's got How You Make Kentucky Burgoo, which is really, you know, it's an in-depth little thing that they have there. And then one of the oddities that we have is what they call the Kentucky Hot Brown. It's really good. They're kind of like sliders. And they're really good if you got a lot of people coming over, you know, to watch any of the races or anything like that. You know, it's real good, easy to make, you know, and you can do it. Hey, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And then we have our international and domestic equestrian calendar. We put up there the different things that are coming up, you know, that we have, like on Quest for Equine Gold, the Olympics. We got Flying Turns, which will have the Hamiltonian come up. And then on quarter time, we have a lot of the AQHA World Championships that come up. So if you go to there, you can, you know, see what's there. You can see the schedules all across the country all summer long. And I guarantee you, if you go there and go to AmericanRodeo.com, you'll find a rodeo close to where you live at, if not in your own town. And you probably just didn't know about it. So we've got that. And then this is the one that I think is going to be the most unique thing that I've seen in the horse industry in a long time. And it's not just because that I've started this. I've always wanted to lay my claim to fame, something in the, you know, especially in the thoroughbred industry, because that's what I grew up in. I worked for many people that have won the Kentucky Derbies, five altogether Kentucky Derbies won by trainers that I worked for. Preaknesses, Belmonts, Breeders' Cups. You know, I've been to the mountaintop, as they say. And it was really great, you know, to be a part of that, be a part of a winning team and know what it takes to get there. So I was sitting one day in the barn and I was thinking, how can I do something, you know, from a television standpoint? I wanted to win an Eclipse Award winner is what I want to be. You know, that's terrible. I want that trophy. I want it now. You know, so what I did is I've got a show called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. And what I do with that is we start out with the owner. The owner starts it all. He gets the ball rolling. He either buys or breeds the horse and that he's wanting to get to the Derby. And he puts a lot of time, effort, and money into it. Then he has to get a trainer. He's got to get a good trainer. You know, like, you don't have to be a great trainer to train a Derby horse, because basically when it gets down to it, it's the horse. It's the horse. But the trainer just guides him in the right direction. You know, that's what they try to do. And so I got to thinking about it. I asked a couple owners, you know, how do they get to the Derby? You know, what do they do? Well, you know, we go to the sales or we breed this, and this is the kind of horse we're looking for. And we're not only looking for a Derby winner, but a horse that might be able to produce, from the breeding shed. And so, you know, it's a good little piece on the owner, and, you know, what he does and how he has to do it. The most important question that he has to answer is not the horse that he gets. It's the trainer that he gets. He's got to find a trainer that he can match with the horse that'll go along good with each other, you know, that type of thing. And then he sits down with the owner and says, okay, the trainer does. And he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Where do you think this horse could be, you know, in a month from now, 2 months now, 5 months now, from now, Derby Day? Well, the trainer says, well, this is what I would like to do with the horse. This is what I'd like to do. I plan to go this route to the Derby. You know, the horse is in training in September in Kentucky. And September in Kentucky is very key because that's where the first Derby points are awarded in the Air Corps Stakes at Churchill Downs in the middle of September. Because now you got to have points to get into the Derby. And so the trainer and the owner have to start thinking, you know, where can I get points at? You know, where can I race, you know, all over. So, but you usually start off at Churchill. And what I like about that is because the horse has actually got a race over the track at Churchill. That becomes real important when it comes down to the Derby. You know, he's got experience on that track. So they start a program of where they're going and how they're going to the Derby. You know, the tracks they're going to run at, the races they're going to run at, you know, and it's all planned out. And so then once you get that going, plan, then you got to get a jockey that fits the horse. You know, you got to get it. Now, listen, you know, jockey's experience is good to have. You want the best jockey that you can get. But that's not to say that some young upcoming jockey can jump up there and win a race. You know, that can happen. That happens all the time. They got to start somewhere. you know, and it's the luck of the draw and how the horse runs. So then, you know, you've got a jockey that's involved in the decision-making now. So now that you got that going, you start thinking about all the other things that you have to get done as an owner and a trainer. An owner and a trainer. So you got the big chunk of the work, you know, already going and moving. So then you got to remember, you got to have a blacksmith. Steve Norman is one of the greatest blacksmiths ever. And in fact, we got a little YouTube thing on there. It's called The Hoof Inside and Out. And he talks about, you know, how important the hoof is. So, you know, that's really good. Then we have the feet, hallway feet. They're like an IEN. They're like a BBS radio. They do everything. Hallway feed mixes feed for racehorses all over the world. And if you start feeding your hallway feed to your horse here in Florida or Kentucky or wherever you're at, and then you travel to a different racetrack or a different country, you can get that same feed from hallway feeds delivered to you. And then that way your horse is not, you know, getting off his feed. He's getting the same feed as he was getting when he was being raised at the farm. So we have that in the feed. So now you're pretty good shape. You got the blacksmith, you got the feed taken care of. So that's good. And then, you know, like I said, the owner's always looking to get a horse. If he doesn't breed one, he can go to the equine sales. And we go behind the scenes with the MyRacehorse.com yearling purchases. Now, MyRacehorse just won the Preakness with Seize the Gray, which will be running tomorrow at the Belmont at Saratoga. So now that's another way of, you know, you can get horses. They did that with Authentic, and they, for a very little bit of money, you can get involved with horses and you become an owner. And let me tell you something, when you get involved with MyRacehorse.com and you buy that share, that micro share, well, you're just as much an owner as the guy that would own 99% of it. You can go to the track, you know, you're an owner, you get a win picture, and it tells you that you're a partner with MyRacehorse.com, and it's got your name on the photo as an owner. And everybody would love to have that hanging up in their office or in their house. You know, you don't have to tell them how much you don't own, and you don't have to tell them how much you do own. You're an owner. And that's all that matters. And my racehorse, boy, they're cranking out winners right and left. And I got involved with them about 3 years ago. And all the horses that I've got have made money and made me money. And they're really good, depending on how much you want to get involved with them. But like I said, just for a few hundred dollars, you can become an owner. And the great thing about my racehorse is you don't have any bills to pay during the month. You don't have to pay feed bills. You don't have to pay vet bills. You don't have to pay transportation or nothing. It's a one-time payment you make to them, and you're an owner until the horse retires. You know, and then you go from there. They're a good company to work with. Genius. They're a genius at the horse business. And then we go through the Derby prep races. We talk about how you got to get your horse's points for the Derby to get into the top 20 in the Derby. They've got prep races all over. They got them at Hot Springs, Arkansas, at Oakland. They got them at the Fairgrounds in New Orleans. They got them Gulfstream Park, Miami, Tampa Bay Downs, Tampa, New York. They've got them at Aqueduct. They got them at all over. There's all kinds of places you can go and run your horse. It's 26 races altogether that have Derby points available. So, you know, you'll have to travel a little bit sometimes if you're based in Florida or Kentucky or wherever to get your points. You just can't stay in one location and get all your points. But we have one, it's called the Kentucky Derby Prep Races, and it's our Derby Watch program. And they highlight all the races that were run, all the Derby prep races were run that week, and then we preview the ones that are coming up in the next week there. And then we finally get down to the decision to run in the Kentucky Derby. You know, a lot of things happen along the way. There's weather conditions, injuries, all kinds of things that happen. And finally, you get to that point when you're about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks out from the Derby, if you're going to run in the Derby or not. You know, that's a tough decision to make. And I've been in that position. We had a horse called Albaba in 1982 and a horse called Liscapade in 1982. And Dewey Smith was the trainer. Mrs. Brown was the owner. And I remember very, very clearly we sat in the Derby in our barn at Churchill Downs. And it was in the spring, and we were going to race at Keeneland and then Churchill Derby Week. And we tried to figure out about running in the Derby. Liscapade was a stakes winner. Albaba was a stakes winner. So we were really going in, and we had a good shot at it. At the Kentucky Derby. In fact, as we got closer to the Derby, Albaba was the favorite at that time. And what was really unusual is they had what they called the Derby trial. It was a week prior to the Kentucky Derby. And a lot of trainers would run their horse in the Derby trial that Saturday and then come back the next Saturday and run in the Derby. This is old school training now. This is old school training where you only ran, you know, a 2-3 year old only 4 or 5 times before you went to, you know, nominate for the Derby. Well, long story short, Dewey decides that he's going to put Albaba in the Derby and Liscapade in the Derby trial. So we were all excited, you know, at least we got two horses running that week, and Albaba was good. We'd just come off a win at the Louisiana Derby, and we were excited about that. Well, we take Liscapade over on Saturday. I take him over to the paddock. And we've got 4 Kentucky Derby horses in the Derby trial. And everybody's saying, oh, my goodness. And, you know, 4 Derby horses, and we're going to see them 2 weeks in a row. Everybody's excited. And they didn't know who we were, Liscapade. Did not know who we were. And so one of the funny things about that was, is on the way over, I purposely walked him over late. I didn't want to get him over in the paddock and get him all wound up and see all the commotion and the people and the TV cameras and everything. So I went over late. And I told Dewey, I said, Dewey, when we walk in there, I said, we're going to have to saddle him right away. And then we're going to turn him and we're going to start walking him around the walking ring. And then we'll get the jockey up on him and straight out to the track. And so everybody was worried that we were late and that something was wrong. And, oh, man, I tell you, I took a beating for that. Well, long story short, we get out there, and nobody's saying anything about him. They announce the horses, and then, you know, towards the end, the announcer says, and Liscapade. And so no nothing. TV-wise, no nothing. And on the way over to the paddock, ABC crew Andy Armentani wanted to know who we had. What was his name? They didn't even know the name of our horse. And I said, he's the winner. He said, come on, man. He said, I'm not kidding. He said, who's the horse? I said, I'm telling you, and I'm not kidding. He's the winner. This is for the Derby trial. So I finally tell him it's Liscapade, you know, and they just kind of blow past us on it. But Liscapade goes out to the track. He warms up good. I'm telling you, he's ready to roll. He goes into the gate. Now, it's going a mile, straight mile out of the chute at Churchill. So they break. Next thing you know, they're out in front of him. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness. You know, he got 7-8 horses in front of him. And, you know, don't know what's going to happen with him, where he's going to go, what he's going to do. And then all of a sudden, he kind of gets out to the outside a little bit, outside of the pack. And, you know, he's running along good. He's in good stride. And the way where he was running at on the track, I said, my God, he's not going to have to drop to the rail. He's not going to have to do anything. He just keeps a straight, narrow line. So the announcer's calling the race, you know, about Royal Roberto, Linkage, you know, they're right in front, you know, and they're talking about all these horses. And the only call Liscapade gets is from the announcer. Yes, he says, and at the wire, it's all Liscapade in front. He paid $115.40, and he ran on past them. I mean, he was rolling. He was rolling like a freight train. So we get back to the barn, and Dewey looks at me, and he says, how am I going to explain this to Mrs. Brown? And I said, what? I said, Dewey, we just won a stakes race, you know, the Kentucky Derby trial. He said, no. He said, remember when we sat down and we decided who to run in the Derby and who to run in the Derby trial? And I said, well, Dewey, I said, I know one thing. I said, you're the trainer, and you're the man that makes the decision. And he said, oh, hang me out to dry, will you? I said, no. I said, you know, but that's what it was. And then he seriously, he looked at me, and he said, Scott, he says, I think we nominated the wrong horse to the Derby. And I said, you know, Dewey, you might be right. I said, you might be right. And so then the next week we came in the Kentucky Derby running, and Al Bob, he comes out of the gate in the Derby. He's laying third and fourth, and he breaks on, he's right up in front, hits a 3/8 pole in the head of the stretch, and he's just rolling. And then all of a sudden there was a filly up there named Koopa Koi's Joy. And she started backing up. When she started backing up, it looked like, you know, somebody was bowling. Horses were moving out of the way and pulling up and getting out of the way, you know. Not saying that that caused anybody to race, you know, but it just wasn't conducive to, you know, finishing the track good. Al Bobby wrenched a hock, and we ended up finishing 11th with him. And so, you know, we got him back, and he was okay. But, you know, that's just racing. That's the way it happened. But, you know, like we said, the whole point of that story was is that you don't know what horse to nominate or when to nominate him. You know, and in that, unfortunately for us, that's we couldn't do a do-over, you know. But if we'd have done the reverse, we would probably won the Derby trial with Al Bob and maybe even run him in the Derby. But, you know, that's just the way things went. So we're not complaining. We experienced the Derby and the tradition, and that's what it's all about, doing that. So, you know, we were all there with it. So, you know, that was good. But that's where all these guys are at today, you know, coming up here on the Belmont. These guys had a tough, long road here to get to the Belmont. And they came out of Louisiana, Kentucky. They came out of Maryland. Come out of New York, California. They come out everywhere. And so now, just to show you how you plan things, when you're planning to run into Belmont, that's a mile and a half, and it's a whole different set of training. That's why you don't see very many horses out of the Derby running in the Belmont. Because, you know, it's a whole set of different training rules and that you have to go by to get your horse there for a mile and a half. So having said that, you know, these guys said, we're going to go for the Belmont. And then about a year ago, they were told that the Belmont would be held at Saratoga, and it's going to be held at a mile and a quarter, not a mile and a half. So there will be an asterisk behind the the winner of the Belmont this year, but being run at a mile and a quarter, not a mile and a half. But they're rebuilding Belmont, and, you know, it's going to be better, and it'll be back. In 2 years, it'll be back to a mile and a half at Belmont. You know, they won't hold it. They're only going to do 2 years at Saratoga. So now it's a whole different set of training. Now you've gone through the Derby, the Preakness, and now you got the Belmont at a mile and a quarter. And that's going to be an interesting thing to see. You know how it does. We got 10 horse field in there. And one of our clients from Palm Beach Downs, Todd Pletcher, he's got 3 in the Belmont. He drew the inside post, the middle, and the outside. So, you know, he's got 3 good shots at it. He's got a couple young horses that are very inexperienced that might come out and be a horse to beat. A lot of people are talking about his horses. And also, that's going to be, you know, the Belmont this year. They sold the Saratoga has been sold out for over a month now. Not a seat to be had there. They have 50 or 60,000 people there probably at Belmont or at Saratoga. Because they've been, a lot of people are up there now for the 4 days of the Belmont Festival that they're having. And it's really good. You know, it's good for business, good for racing. But yet again, you know, like I said, there's going to be an asterisk by this year and next year's Belmont winners to see what happens. And then see if we have next year, Of course, this year we're not going to have a Triple Crown winner. But next year, if we're fortunate enough to have somebody win the Preakness and the Derby and then come back and win the Belmont, it'll be, you know, a Triple Crown winner. But he won't because it's only a mile and a quarter, not a mile and a half. So, you know, that's where we see that from. So, you know, there's just so much that we've got going on here. If you get to the website, I think you can take a good look at it. And then as far as programming goes here, we're going to have some good things going. We've got an IEN movie of the week that we usually put up. This week we've got some Belmont things there that we have up. So we got that going on. And then our weekly program schedule will start out on Mondays. It'll be Quest for Equine Gold, 0 to 10. That's show jumping and dressage. Then we have Tuesday, Chucker and Quarter Time, which is polo and AQHA. Then Wednesday, we have Last Call, which is equine sales. And then we've got an international equine report that we stick in the middle there. Because then in the middle of the week, we find out who's racing and who's showing and what sales are, you know, in Europe and, you know, Eastern Europe and in Australia. We know all that in the middle of the week. And that's why I stuck the International Equine Report in the middle of the week. Thursday, we have At the Wire, which is all about the thoroughbred industry and the racing and what all's going there. We have Flying Turns, which is all about the standardbred industry, and we have everything you need to know about that. And that's Flying Turns is sponsored by Harness Link, Steve Wolf over at Harness Link. And you'll have his number on our website. If you want to know anything about the harness industry, that's the guy to go to. He's an award-winning international harness rider in the Hall of Fame. Family been in the business forever. And he can tell you any and everything about what's going on. You know, so that's Flying Turns on Thursday. And then on Friday, what we do is we're going to have the business of the week. We're going to have an equestrian business of the week. We're going to have an equestrian of the week, an athlete of the week. And then we're going to have farm of the week. And it's going to be some of the best farms and most unique stories in the equestrian business. Some of the athletes could be only one horse, but they're doing fantastic things, both domestic and international. And then we'll have a weekly review of what all happened in the past week, and then we'll have a weekly preview of what all happened. And so tomorrow, if you can tune in to us here on International Equine Network on IENTV.org, you can come up and you can see everything about the Belmont that's coming up. You can see who's running. You can see the whole nine yards. We've got all kinds of little stories on there that'll be there. And then if you can't make it to IENTV.org to watch the Belmont, we've got America's Days at the Races, which is on IEN. That comes on at 12 noon and goes to 6 p.m. That's on FS2. FS1, we have America's Day at the Races. That starts at 6 to 7. That's strictly Belmont on Saturday, June 8th. Then we have Belmont Day on Fox at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And you'll be able to see all this on IENTV because we partner up with them. We got the Belmont Stakes that comes on at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We got America's Day at the Races, which is 6 to 7 o'clock on FS1. You know, we've got it all covered. You know, that's all you got to do is just tune in to us and see what's going on. It's going to be an interesting day. Hope everybody enjoys it. And remember, this is your chance to start your traditions, your Triple Crown traditions, your equine traditions. Have friends and family over. Barbecue. Make up recipes. You know, watch the horse races. Start your tradition and do it every year. Might not do it every year at your house or at the track, but you can always do it at one of your friends' houses. And that's what we need in the horse business and in America. We need to start respecting and having traditions that families can get together as a group and friends can get together as a group and enjoy, you know, the day. So I hope you have a good Belmont day. Remember, start that tradition. It's up to you. If you don't have a tradition, it's your fault, not mine. tune into IENTV.org and watch all the horse racing shows and news every day. Next week, 2 o'clock, make it a tradition, International Equine Report.